I bring grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon from Colossians. And as we come to this word, let's start in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts and heads to you, and we thank you. We thank you that you have made what was invisible visible. You have brought heaven to earth. You have shown us the riches of your mercy through the work of your Son, Jesus. Increase our faith, O God, strengthen it in him, that even though not seeing, we may believe more firmly that he is our Savior. He is our hope for eternity. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. If there was a phrase in 2017 that every single one of us likely took notice of, it was the phrase fake news. From one side to the other side of the political spectrum and back again, fake news, allegations, assertions of fake news being thrown and cast back and forth. What was fake news? Is this fake news? Is that fake news? Is this person or that person the author of fake news? This network, that network, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. It may surprise you that the writers of Scripture were well-versed in accusations regarding fake news. Jesus himself was well aware of the fact that those who received his ministry, many of them looked at him and declared fake news. The Pharisees saw him hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners, eating in their homes, and yet at the same time saying that those people would inherit the kingdom of God, and he was sent by God to minister to them because it was not the healthy that needed a doctor, but the sick. And to that, the Pharisees said, say it with me, fake news. The Sadducees heard that Jesus was hanging out with the rabble of society while they were eating in the most politically connected places of all Jerusalem and Judea. They were in tight with the political leaders of that day. They were the Sadducees. And so when the Sadducees heard that somehow God had mercy for those that were politically discounted, marginalized, and overlooked, the Sadducees, guess what they said about Jesus? They said, you are purveying fake news. Fake news. The Roman soldiers, all the way up to the Roman rulers, heard that there was a Jewish sect. A Jewish sect that was saying that in the absence of political power, there was a God, a king that stood on high. And of all things, unbelievable, that this God would rule, not through might of military strength, but through the power of love and sacrificial service being displayed throughout the whole world by his church. When the Roman government, from ruler to soldier, heard about that sect of Judaism, they said about that kind of religion, fake news. The Bible, of all the things that we might be given religiously to consider, its origin was steeped in the charge that it was fake news. We have not come much farther, because even in our day and age, we know that as our world looks at the claims of Scripture, the assertions of our faith, all too often, in many and various parts and ways, certain aspects more than other aspects perhaps, still the charge remains the same, fake news. Fake news. Today, we want to hit that and confront that head on. We want to confront that and realize, first of all, that at the heart of Scripture is faith. which is overcoming the charge in our own life, in our own heart and soul, the charge that our soul musters against such a confession and creed. This is fake news. Faith is that overcoming of that charge originating in us. In fact, in Scripture, there is a Greek word that is dedicated to this, and it's the Greek word skandalon, from which we get the English word scandalous. The words of Scripture, the history that it claims, is worthy to be believed. The people, the places, the events, but more than anything, the significance of those people, places, and events. All of those things scandalize us. Literally, they cause us to stumble. They are a stumbling block. That's what a scandalon is. It trips you up. You look behind and you say, what did I just miss back there? Was there a pothole, a stone in the road? What was that? That is essentially what is the experience of when our hearts say, that's fake news. But our faith says, no, that's the gospel of hope. That's the truth of God. That's when our faith says, you know, if I follow God, it's because God is God, and beside Him there is no other. And for God to be God, by definition, He gets to do anything He wants, anytime He wants, but here's really the key, any way He wants. If He wants to create the world in 6 days, He can do it. If He wants to send His Son into this world to bear our sin and be our Savior on a cross, God can do that. If He wants to raise Jesus Christ bodily from the grave 3 days later and have Him ascend into heaven physically in front of the eyes of the disciples as if moving up through clouds, guess what? He can do that. And to hear about that, to even consider believing that, is scandalous. It causes us, technically now, it causes us to stumble, to hiccup, to catch our breath, cock our head to the side and say, really? That's the claim. That's the essential part of Scripture. We come today to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. And after affirming the Christians in this Greek city of Colossae, this very, very cosmopolitan city, which was essentially, Colossae was the intersection of multiple roads coming from east to west. It was a very important, all of Greece really, but Colossae especially was a very important place religiously and in terms of commerce. Lots of stuff passing through, and with the stuff, the material, the produce, the product, came the ideas and the religion and the philosophies from place to place. And Paul then makes these assertions, which is our text for today, after affirming the Colossian church for all the good things that are happening, and those things are not fake news. You can actually see those. They knew those things were happening. Now Paul comes to the harder piece. And he reminds the Colossians that while they are living a very visible life of visible ministry, all of that happens because of their faith in what they cannot see. But what they believe about Jesus Christ, who with His face and hands and feet and heart and body, He is the visible image, the icon of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. He is supreme over all creation, and circle this word, through Him, by His agency, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, and here's a critical piece of the puzzle that I want to underline for you, the things we can't see. That would be the thrones, the kingdoms, the rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. This has an echo to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, remember this, your struggle in this world is not just against the flesh and blood you can see, but similarly, it's against the thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world and in the heavenly realms. The things that other people say, that's just spiritual mumbo jumbo. There's nothing more out there. There's nothing more beyond. It's just making sure that you trudge your way through work and family and commerce and all the other stuff in this world. No, Paul says, no, through Christ, everything was made that has been made, not just the stuff that we can see and touch, sense. But there is an entire unseen world that has an effect and affects the life that you and I lead today. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. And not only does he hold all creation together, he is the head of the church. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was creation and there was church. And it was all the same thing. And when sin entered into the world, all of a sudden, something happened. You had creation, but in creation you had church and not church. Those that were still connected by faith in the promises that God had given to Adam and Eve, and those who became disconnected from God, repudiating the promises of God, they became not church. And so now we read that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. That's our ultimate hope. And ultimately, he's the first in everything. And here's the next phrase to underline. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, again, circle that phrase, by the agency of Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That's the scandal. That is the essence of the fake news that is claimed by the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Roman rulers of ages past, and still claimed by so many beings, human beings, in this present age. And so you who have been once far away, you've been brought near. Paul now moves from talking about the universal to talking about you particularly. Because it's one thing to nod your head in church and say, yeah, yeah, that's what Bible teaches. Christ did that. I learned that in Sunday school so long ago. It's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. Yep, more syrup, more butter, yep. Make more pancakes. For those of you who are younger than Tom and Jerry, this is a great episode to watch. Cartoons making pancakes, and the person sitting there just says, yep, want more butter, want more syrup, just nods his head, yep. But finally, Paul brings it home to you. You were once far away from God. You were his enemies. You were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. And you all of a sudden say, yeah, I agree with that. But I don't know if I agree that I could possibly be brought near, that God could cover over my sins, one and done sins or habitual ones. I don't know whether God could love me after what I've said to this person or that, what I've done in this workplace or that workplace, how I've treated my children, my grandchildren, my mother, my father. I know that God forgives, but I don't know whether he could forgive that. And you know what you're doing when you say those kinds of things? You're saying, say it with me, two words, right? 2017, remember, fake news. You're essentially saying to God, I believe the gospel, but when it applies to me in this area or that, with this particular sin or not, that's fake news. God says to you today through the Apostle Paul, that's not fake news. That's the very reason why I sent my son. I didn't send my son into this world to be an abstraction. I didn't send my son to be the topic of a theology book. I didn't send my son into this world to be all sliced and diced in Aristotelian logic. I didn't do that for all of those reasons. I sent my son into this world in order to reconcile you to me, so that every last human being in this world may know that I, the God and Father of all there is, seen and unseen, love you. Take notice of you. Overlook the sins that you have committed and wash them away, because my son Jesus is the first fruits of the dead. He rose bodily from the grave in victory over condemnation, sin, and death. And that's not fake news. God says, believe in me. And so Paul ends this little section by saying, so you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it, because the charges of fake news have beset Scripture and the church forever, in every age. So don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached over all the world, and now I, Paul, and I, Scott, and Jacob, and Jim, and Dave, and the ministers of the gospel in this place to you, and you among one another, you are called to proclaim and serve it. And so that's where we end up for today. You know, last week I did the shticky thing. If you weren't here last week, you probably avoided some measure of discomfort, because for the first half of the sermon, I had everybody applauding each other for just being here, and we were commending each other for showing and demonstrating our faith in various ways. Paul comes to the end of this, and essentially, if I could bring last week into this week, he says, for all the affirmation that we have given each other, and I am giving you for being a great Colossian faithful church, and all of these things, and Pastor Seidler, for all the affirmation that you engendered and brought forth in this room as we applauded each other and said, yay, great job overcoming all this sinful pressure against us and inside of us. By the end of everything here in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, the greatest applause belongs to God. The greatest ovation is due to him, because he alone has caused us to stand. He alone has made us his. And so as we end this sermon, if you can do it without ruining the message and your remembrance of it, would you join me in saying amen to God through Christ by giving him a round of applause? We are learning. A plus.